This is Stella Peroni with John Garber, August 27th. John, why don't you start off and say date, where you were born, and some brief biographical sketches.
I was born on November 14th, 1941, in Fresno, California, on Ventura Boulevard. My family, father, mother, were all Armenians. Our ancestors came from Turkish Armenia. They came over during the genocide in 1915. And my grandfather was working out in the fields at 11 years old, picking grapes to help support the family. He eventually bought a gas station in Fresno and did pretty well in that, and then bought a farm out towards Sanger. So I grew up in Fresno and out on the farm. At the age of around six, our family packed up their bags and we moved to San Francisco. And I went to Columbus High School on Lawton. And I also went to Laguna Honda Grammar School over on 7th and Irving. I grew up on the playgrounds in the city of San Francisco. And when you grow up in the playgrounds in the city of San Francisco, it's like, who's the best on the playground? And on the playground, you play every game conceivable. And the only thing that really mattered to me was to be the best in every one of those games. That's from a yo-yo to a ping pong to a basketball to a handball to a football, you name it. I was the best on the playgrounds. And then we moved to Los Angeles and we lived in El Monte and Cabina. And once again, you go to the playground and on the playground, you see who's the best. And so my athletic background came from the playgrounds of Southern California and Northern California. And when I say my athletic background, all we did was play. We just played to see who could win the point, and then game is over with. Today, these kids are doing all this extra stuff besides what they're playing, and in my opinion, it's causing a lot of injuries. And so, you know, and it would also be good if these kids today would not specialize in one sport. When we were kids growing up, we played everything, so it gave our body a chance to rest, and then we move on to another sport and another sport, and that's the healthiest thing to do. Anyway, so that was kind of my background growing up. And then we moved from LA back to San Francisco, and I ended up going to Lowell High School. And I went there not because of my grades, because in the classroom, I was just thinking about being on the playground. The classroom did not matter to me. All that mattered to me was being the best on the playground. So at Lowell High School, I was playing during the summer over at Washington High School. We had just moved there. And I ran into this guy, Eddie Shaskin, who was a student at Lowell. And he said, you should come and play basketball at Lowell. And I'll introduce you to Benny Knepp, who was the head coach at that time. So I went over. I ended up going to Lowell High School. After basketball the first season, I went out for the baseball team, and I got into a discussion with the baseball coach because he wanted me to play third base, and I said, let me warm my arm up. He said, take third base. I said, let me warm my arm up. I just finished basketball. Anyway, I said, I don't think I want you to be my coach. So I left, and then I wanted seventh period PE, so I thought, I'll go out for the tennis team. So I go out for the tennis team, and the coach says, I know why you're here, because you want seventh period PE. I go, yeah. He says, okay. He says, you go out here, and I want you to play all the oldest guys out here in Golden Gate Park and hit the ball over the net 10 times without missing. And then in a month, you can challenge anybody on the ladder that you want. And if you beat them, then I'll let you stay on the tennis team. I said, okay.
Wait, had you ever played tennis before?
I'd only hit a tennis ball against a wall. That was it. No, I've never played tennis before.
Okay. And so this is freshman year at Lowell.
This is my high freshman year at Lowell. So at the end of the month, he says, okay, who do you want to challenge? I said, I'll challenge the number three guy on the team. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah. And at that time, Lowell had probably for many years one of the top tennis teams in the country. Our coach, Jim Livingston, was ranked number three in the nation in doubles and 13 in singles.
So, did you know the number three guy? Excuse me for interrupting.
Did I know the number three guy that he played with?
No, the number three guy. You said
I know who I played.
You challenged him.
I challenged him, yeah. Okay. So I challenged the number three guy, and we play, and I beat him love and love. So the coach, I said, well, what should I do now? He says, go and play tournaments. I said, okay. So I went and started playing tournaments. I ended up winning tournaments. I ended up winning a Washington State Tennis Championships. This is 6 months after I pick up a tennis racket. I didn't know anything about how you're supposed to hit a ball, this how you hit a forehand, this how you hit a backhand, overhead, volley, all that stuff. Didn't know anything about it. All I knew is you hit the ball and you win the point. Bottom line. So that was my introduction to tennis. But because I love basketball so much, which in my opinion and my father's opinion was my best sport, I started playing basketball again. So going back and forth between those two things, ended up getting a scholarship for tennis, ended up walking onto the basketball team and ending up starting on the basketball team in college, beating out a lot of scholarship athletes, only because in San Francisco, I had the opportunity of playing with professionals and semi-professionals when I was 17 and 18 years old. And when you play against the best, you got to get good. Okay, so where do we go from here?
Okay, you covered a lot of territory.
That's background.
Okay, that's background, but that's great. So was your father a real athlete and real interested in your athletic endeavors?
Well, I have to say this about my father. He, when I was a little kid, he would take me out to the baseball games that he was playing in. He played center field. And I was so impressed with his athletic ability. And there would be these Armenian picnics. We'd go to these Armenian picnics and they have these softball games. My dad would go out in the pitcher's mound, windmill. So my dad, yeah, and they called him the deer for his speed. So my dad was like, you know, he was really a good athlete, but he never, he started a family when he was 20. My mom was 18. And, you know, after five children and working to try to support the family, he never really, now as a father and me playing athletics, I have to say this about my dad. He never, ever interfered. He would come to the games and watch the games, but never say anything to me about you did this poorly or you did this well. And I have to say, all of the parents whose children I worked with in Mill Valley, they always kept out of it. They let me do what I needed to do. And that's the other thing. Parents, get out of it. Let the kids just do and the coach do what they're doing. We got too many parents getting involved in kids' sports today.
Okay, so your first organized team sports were at Lowell. You played basketball and tennis.
And I played organized sports since I was in the third or fourth grade, because we had playgrounds, and on those playgrounds we had leagues in Southern California where you play under the lights.
Got it. Okay. Okay, and then you, after Lowell, what college did you go to?
I went to Idaho State.
Okay.
And then from Idaho State, I dropped out because I had spoken to the drama teacher there, and she said, you know, doing athletics and doing drama, that's doesn't really work because we need you here to do plays on the weekends and you're traveling with whatever. You know, you should make a decision on what you're going to do here. And if I'm going to do drama, then I don't really need college. Okay, if you're going to do drama, you're going to do stage, you're going to do film, you don't need college. In fact, probably college in a lot of ways might get in the way. So I left, I came back to San Francisco, So I dropped out of college, came back to San Francisco, and worked part-time at Sears and Roebuck. Did a play at the Playhouse in San Francisco. Did a play at the Sausalito Playhouse in Sausalito at that time. My Aunt Stella bought a home in Mill Valley, and she said, "Come on over and stay with me. It's a large home, and we'll go from there." I said, "Okay." So I came over to Mill Valley, 135 Rogue Marais, over in Enchanted Knolls, right across street from Hockey Park. And I went to College Marin, studied some drama there, dropped out, and then someone said they needed a tennis instructor over at Boyle Park to run a tennis program for the summer. There were three courts there at the time. There was a hitting wall there on two sides, not just one side like it is today. So I went over to Boyle Park and I set up this tennis program. Next thing I know, I've got, classes that are just totally filled. I mean, when I say totally filled, I had adults and children on that courts. That's 8 to 10 deep on all three courts.
John, did they was this the had they had a tennis program at Boyle in the
As
preceding
far
years?
as I know, no. But probably the people up at the Mill Valley Tennis Club would know better than me, because like I said, I came here in 1962. So I don't know what was going on there. I know there were a couple of players from Mill Valley that I had played against, Gordon Smith and Bob Hope and Dennis Langhoff. They might know, and they're all local Mill Valley people that have moved away because of not having any wealth.
Okay, so you ran the tennis
So
program
I
at
ran the
Boyle.
tennis program at Boyle, and then the school year came around, and I was approached about seeing a Mother Superior over at Our Lady of Mount Carmel about teaching physical education there. And so I went over to speak to her, and she said, "Here's what we need." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "We need to win." I said, "What do you mean you need to win?" She said, "Well, Mount Carmel, they keep losing to everybody in CYO, and we're tired of it." I said, "Okay, you want me to set up something so you can win?" She goes, "Yeah." She said, "We do track and field and we do basketball." I said, "Okay, and we're tired of being beaten." I know. So I started teaching PE. From kindergarten to eighth grade. And we had a yard out there, and we had a basketball court in the back of the school. And we would do calisthenics in the yard. And when I say calisthenics, I'm talking about jumping jacks, toe touches, calf raises, everything you can just do with your body. You don't need all this equipment that businesses are making vast amounts of money on. All you really need is your body to work with. And so the boys and girls there would do all these calisthenics. Then after they did all the calisthenics, we would do relays or dodgeball or kickball or whatever. And then the older ones, I'd have them run around the block. And so then I put together some basketball teams, and we ended up doing pretty well in basketball. And then track and field came. So we went over to Edna McGuire, and they have a place called Kite Hill over there. So I figure if I run them up Kite Hill, they're going to be pretty strong and their endurance is going to be pretty good. So we practiced track and field. And then when the county meet came, Mount Carmel, the fourth graders, the fifth graders, the sixth graders, the seventh graders, the eighth graders, boys and girls, all of them won the championship. The whole school won the county championship. And what I attribute it to is the fact that they were able to have calisthenics a couple of times a week, where they are able to build up the flexibility and the strength in their body. And plus the speed work, what we would do just running relays, okay, or running around the block, or going over to Edna McGuire and going up Kite Hill. So the track and field, really became something that I go, where do we go from here? Okay, so after well, I was at Mount Carmel. I was offered a part-time job working for the city of Mill Valley, doing recreation work. And that connection was because of the tennis that I did at Boyle Park. So I said, yeah. So I went over and I started working part-time at the old recreation center. We had some ping pong tables in there and a pool table. And I set up some programs at the various playgrounds. During that time, I auditioned for the Neighborhood Playhouse in New York City and I was accepted. And so I thought, well, let's go give that a try. And I told the director of Parks and Recreation and that I was going to do that. And he said, well, if things don't work out, he said in 6 months he was going to hire a recreation supervisor, and the job is yours if you wanted it.
Who was the supervisor?
His name was Don DeMatratos. And I said, okay. So went back to New York, had gotten married the day before, went back to New York, started studying at the Neighborhood Playhouse, and saw that they were having auditions for a Greek tragedy that was going to be directed by Michael Colchianis, who was the director of Zorba the Greek, and Irene Pappas was going to be in it. So I went down to the Circle in the Square in Greenwich Village to audition. And the guy asked for my equity card. I said I had no equity card. He said it's only for equity actors and actresses. I said, well, how can I get into equity? He says, you got to get into equity play. I said, well, how do I get into equity play if I can't audition? And he looked me up and down. He says, well, he said, look, he says, you come back later in the afternoon and Mr. Kokianis will be here and let him take a look at you. So I went back that afternoon and, I'm waiting for him. Finally, the man arrives and he starts walking around me in a circle like I'm a painting or something. And he says, okay, fine. And I left. And a few days later, I get a call that Mr. Kokianis wants to cast me in Iphigenia and Aulis. And I said, well, I can't take it. And they said, why can't you take it? I said, I'm going to the Neighborhood Playhouse. They don't want you to work professionally while you're there. And they said, well, why'd you come down here if you knew you couldn't work? I said, I want to see how hard it was to get into a play. So then, my wife said, you're nuts. This is what you're here for. If you can start making a living at it, make a living at it. So I said, okay. So I said, on one condition, if I could study with Lee Strasberg, who was head of the Actors Studio. And so I found out where Lee Strasberg lived over on Central Park West. And I went to his apartment building. And as I'm walking by the doorman, I says, is Mr. Strasberg still in the same apartment? He goes, yeah, the apartment so and so. So then I go upstairs, I ring the doorbell. This short Jewish man comes to the door with couple of little poodles, and he looks at me and goes in a rough voice, what do you want? And I said, are you Lee Strasberg? He goes, yeah. He said, how'd you get by the doorman? I said, I asked him if you were still living in the same number, and he gave me the number. He said, oh. He said, what do you want? I said, well, I'd like to study with you. He said, well, call my secretary. I said, well, does that mean I study with you? He said, you call my secretary and I'm going to call her and tell her you called. So later on, I called the secretary and the secretary said, Mr. Strasberg says he wants you to study with him. So the bottom line is if you want something, you can get it. You just have to go get it. So I started studying with him. My marriage was going bad, so I said, let's go back to Mill Valley. I've been offered this job. And so we came back to Mill Valley. I took over as the recreation supervisor for the city of Mill Valley. I was able to develop physical and cultural programs for the entire community, from preschool to elementary school, to junior high school, to college, to adults, to senior citizens, just playground activities at Edna McGuire, at Alto School, at Park School, at Homestead School, where the children were playing various sports. We had leagues going in town, and when we got good enough, I would schedule games against other boys or girls, but mainly boys at that time. And we put them in a car, and we'd go down to Redwood City or wherever, and we would play. And the reason we did that is because I knew that if you play against the best, you're going to get, if not the best, you're going to be better than most other people. And so the physical programs in Mill Valley were geared to create the best male and female athletes that I possibly could. And a lot of them went on, got scholarships for various sports, outstanding Marin County athletes, Hall of Famers, world record holders, professional athletes. So that's what I did when I was a recreation supervisor. I was also able to help start the Mill Valley Center for Performing Arts when Solly Lieberman came and said he wanted to start doing plays up at the old golf clubhouse, or the Mill Valley Golf Clubhouse. And so that's how that all started. During that time...
Roughly what year are we talking about now, John?
We're talking from 68 to 73. From 68 to 73, 67 maybe tail end. So during that time while I was the recreation supervisor for Mill Valley, I was cast as Chief Bromden in Ken Kesey's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which we started with up at the Mill Valley Golf Clubhouse. And then Lee Sankwich and Rudy Golan, the producers, picked it up and took it over to San Francisco to the little Fox Theater off of Montgomery Street. So I was doing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest while I was running a recreation department during the day, 7 or 8 performances a week. After 5.5 months, I came down with hepatitis, and that ended my acting career with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. After I recovered from my hepatitis, went back to work for the city of Mill Valley, and during that time, a new city manager was hired, and he decided...
Name?
Do you want me to give names?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
His name was William Cunningham, and during that time, he started wanting to fool around with the Park and Recreation Department, and not really representing city employees with the city council. Department heads would set up what their budget would be and what they needed and what the employees needed, but he wouldn't take that to the city council. So after I thought it got too rough, I decided to go and talk to him. And when I went in to see him, you know, we talked, and you know, I didn't believe a word he was saying. And so after I left, I went up to my cottage. I was staying up in Washington Park, up off of a panoramic highway. And I decided to write a letter to the Mill Valley Record at that time and the Independent Journal that I'm going to resign my position because of this man and all of the things that he's caused as far as problems for the Park and Recreation Department. So I figured I had nothing to lose because I had no family. So during that period of time, the employees, because they had no representation, they went on strike. And when they went on strike, I had to cross the picket line every day, and they were telling me how you know, they were having a hard time making their mortgage payments, and, you know, problems financially. And I think that just kind of sealed the fact that, you know, I have to do something about the city manager. And like I said, I wrote letters to the papers stating why I was doing this. And 3 days after I resigned, the mayor of Mill Valley, Gene Barnard, called me and said, "Take your job back. We're going to fire him." And I said, "You know, once I give someone my word, I never go back on my word. You know, it was foolish thinking on my part, reflecting on that now, but that's what happened." So then, after that was all over with, I went traveling for a while, and then I came back to Mill Valley and I started teaching tennis over on Laverne Avenue. There was a little chicken coop there and a single court, and I was able to develop a couple of ranking players, Corinne Cernsich and Rob Peterson. Rob Peterson today has world records in the Guinness Book of Records, and Corinne Cernsich had gotten a tennis scholarship to Cal. While I was teaching over there, all this was happening, and they were winning tournaments, etc., etc. And then a gentleman in Mill Valley, Al Corkland, said, "You know, I know how long, you know, you've been interested in acting, and you've always had to do these other jobs in order to pursue an acting career, and I'd like to sponsor you for a year, and you just concentrate on doing your acting and see what happens." So I said, "Well, let me think about it." So I asked my dad what he thought. He said, "Well, do you have to pay the money back?" I said, "No." He said, "I'm part of the tribe. He's got this money and he'd like to sponsor me." So I went back the next day and talked to him, and I said, "Okay, let's do it." He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'll get on an airplane, I'll go to New York City, and I'll study during the summer. And after the summer, then I'll go and see if I can find work." So I went back to New York City and studied with Kim Stanley.
Year, John? Just junior.
1978, 1978. So I'm studying with Kim Stanley, who starred on Broadway, starred in a film called The Goddess, was in Streetcar Named Desire with Brando on Broadway. And, you know, we'd have these sessions starting at 8 o'clock at night until 3 o'clock in the morning at the Cherry Lane Theater, where we would just do this scene work. And I remember one day, one night, she asked me to share a cab with her. And she spotted this woman over there standing on the corner. She says, "You see that woman over there?" And I go, "Yeah." She goes, and she started telling me this whole history about this woman. I said, "How'd you know that?" She goes, "I don't know anything." She goes, "That's just my imagination working." I said, "Oh," and so what she was telling me is imagination is important. And then the other thing that she told me is that basically the bottom line is communication. If you can communicate, you can act. That's it. Getting checks, went out to Los Angeles, left New York, went out to Los Angeles, and got a part-time job at Paramount Studios in the gym. And I get a phone call saying that this guy who just directed Saturday Night Fever was looking for someone to train him and if I would be interested. I said, "Yeah, okay." So I started training him, and the next movie he went to work on was Whose Life Is It Anyway with Richard Dreyfuss, and he asked if I'd come along with him and work as a dialogue coach on the film, and he'd give me a small part in the film. I said, "Yeah, okay." So I went and did that, ended up training him and working with him for 11 years, being in movies from American Flyers to War Games to Blue Thunder to Partners, Eastwood, Dirty Harry, a few other things. And then after 11 years, you know, I just saw how it's an inflation-deflation process where you make money and then you don't make money, you make money, you don't make money, you collect unemployment, and it just got to be too nerve-wracking. So I thought, well, let's get out of here. I had and got out of here, moved back to Marin County. This was in 1989. And I have been here now since 1989.